Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today takes us to Lebanon, where just yesterday lawmakers ruled it will become the first Arab country to legalize the cultivation of cannabis for medicinal and industrial use. Lebanon's parliament approved the bill despite opposition from Hezbollah representatives. In fact, several known allies of Hezbollah broke ranks to support this decision. So what gives? Back in the 1990s, Lebanon spent millions of dollars to fight cannabis farming in the region, a war on drugs that, like most wars on drugs, had at best mixed results. As of 2018, the UN Office on Drugs and Crime ranked Lebanon as one of the top five producers of cannabis in the entire world. Still, this is a stark reversal of the country's position, a move that echoes similar reversals in other countries as well as in parts of the United States. And the primary motivating factor here? Money. You see, Lebanon is riddled with debt, and cannabis crops may offer a new, enormous income stream, especially since the new policy makes the state the sole legal proprietor for the cannabis trade. According to Bloomberg, legalizing cannabis could create as much as $1 billion a year in additional funds. This estimate is backed by earlier research from the powerful international consulting agency McKinsey, which recommended Lebanon legalize marijuana to boost the economy way back in 2018. Many international analysts agree with this move. Among them is Faraz Maqsad, a professor at George Washington University in the U.S. Maqsad argued that Hezbollah might just be pretending to oppose the bill, saying, quote, "Hezbollah took a principled position against it given the party's claimed Islamic credentials, but practically signaled to its allies that they can vote for the legislation." So it appears that, however the various stakeholders might posture in public, they all agree Lebanon could use the help. The economy is currently in its worst crisis since the country's civil war, which began in 1975 and ended in 1990. Our second story takes us to California, where one Brent Underwood is currently stranded in a ghost town. Back in 2018, Underwood, who normally resides in Austin, Texas, purchased an abandoned silver mining town named Cerro Gordo. Underwood and his business partner had originally planned to open the town in May of this year for overnight experiences, but the coronavirus pandemic has delayed those plans for now. Cerro Gordo has a bloody, violent past. It's located 3 hours outside of Los Angeles, so when it was occupied, the 5,000 residents of the town were often left to their own devices when it came to resolving disputes. At the height of Cerro Gordo's underworld activity, the town averaged about one murder per week, and resident miners even took to putting sandbags in their bunks in hopes of stopping stray bullets during nightly exchanges of gunfire. Underwood did not plan to be stranded in Cerro Gordo. The town usually has a caretaker, a man named Robert Louis Desmarius, who lives on site and oversees the property. However, when COVID-19 hit the United States, this caretaker wanted to leave and check on his spouse. And so Underwood agreed to step in as caretaker. He packed up his truck and drove to California. That's where a snowstorm struck and trapped him, alone with the ghost of Cerro Gordo. Currently, Underwood is bunkered down at the Belshaw House, which has two bedrooms and a bathroom, making it one of the nicer of the 22 buildings in town. The original owner of the house, one Mortimer Belshaw, was one of the leading figures in the community. He built the toll road. He owned the general store. he had claims on the mines. For some, this isolated situation would be torture. For others, it may be a kind of paradise. There's no running water, no direct contact with other human beings, and the nearest grocery store is about 30 miles away in a town called Lone Pine. As a result, Underwood is depending on his own supply of rice, beans, canned soup, and a cache of canned food that previous visitors have left behind. Currently, and luckily, Underwood has no desperate need to escape, and that's a good thing. The nearest civilization is a tiny town of about 20 residents 9 miles away. Some residents of this town could, if necessary, make it about halfway to Underwood via automobile, but he would need to hike the other half. In a worst-case scenario, Underwood believes a helicopter could reach him, but he's quick to add things shouldn't get that bad. Underwood is also able to communicate with his friends and business partners, though his internet connection is too slow to watch streaming video. He's also picking up a wealth of new skills, including photography, carpentry, antiquing, and animal tracking. There's a bobcat that visits his porch most nights, and Underwood believes this cat lives in an underground mine. He also, on a hike to Death Valley, discovered a large footprint in the snow that he speculates may be evidence of Bigfoot. One last note. Underwood found a copy of The Shining among the VHS tapes in the town. It's been sitting on his desk. For now, he says, he's too scared to watch it. I just can't bring myself to watch it, Underwood said. I would get too freaked out. Our third story is one that should be reported more often, and it's perfect for today's Earth Day celebration. Earth is in a virtually unprecedented recovery. As millions of people across the planet stay home, there are far fewer planes, automobiles, and industries creating pollution. In a very short span of time, Earth's air has grown noticeably cleaner. Nitrogen dioxide pollution in the northeastern United States is down by 30%. Air pollution levels in Rome, Italy, from mid-March to mid-April, were down 49% from the previous year. According to NASA atmospheric scientist Barry Leffer, the air from Boston to Washington is its cleanest since a NASA satellite started measuring nitrogen dioxide back in 2005. Leffer notes this type of pollution is short-lived, so it's not all that surprising to see the air recover so quickly. Scientists have confirmed the trend in numerous regions across the planet. Compared to the previous 5 years, March air pollution was down 46% in Paris, 35% in Bengaluru, India, 38% in Sydney, 29% in Los Angeles, 26% in Rio de Janeiro, and 9% in Durban, South Africa. In some parts of the world, people are also reporting that it's much easier to see the stars at night. And if you've listened to previous episodes of Strange News Daily, you're already aware that wild animals are taking over spaces previously dominated by human beings. Coyotes are strolling down Michigan Avenue in Chicago and across the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Pumas have entered Santiago, Chile. Santiago, by the way, is one of the very last international cities I visited. I barely made it back to the States before the lockdown began. Monkeys over in India are breaking into people's homes and raiding their refrigerators like college roommates. Chris Field, director of the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment, assembled a team of scientists to assess the ecological changes happening with so much of humanity housebound. These scientists are stuck at home like the rest of us, and they say they're eager to explore all the unexpected changes in weeds, insects, weather patterns, noise, and light pollution. Over in Italy, the government is working on an ocean expedition to explore the sea changes coming from the lack of people. While this is an astounding and compelling look into what humanity as a group can do to preserve our natural environment, it is still, we have to stress, a temporary situation. And the shutdown isn't likely to affect global warming because greenhouse gases, the ones that trap heat and cause climate change, tend to stay in the atmosphere for a century or more. Carbon dioxide levels are also still rising, but at a noticeably slower rate than last year. So while this year so far has been catastrophic for our species, it's fascinating to see the silver lining for the rest of planet Earth. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, your bad dad jokes, or your personal experiences with COVID-19. You can tell us all about it by reaching out on Twitter with the hashtag StrangeDaily. Recently, Simply Solly on Twitter wrote in to say Georgia, the state, is planning to reopen their state, starting with essential businesses like bowling. It's true, Solly, and the ruling, which is scheduled to go into effect this Friday, has caused no small amount of controversy here in Atlanta, Georgia. You see, this ruling doesn't just apply to bowling alleys. It also applies to nail and hair salons, tattoo parlors, and more. What do you think should reopen, and when? You can tell me all about it. Find me directly at BenBolinHSW on Twitter or at BenBolin on Instagram. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, stay strange.